Cross, come on, that saved me.
That saved me and rescued me. Just a moment there set me free. Lord, it's your word, it's your love. Oh, how glorious are you, Lord. It's your power, it was your cross.
Oh, Lord,
that saved me.
Good morning. God is good. I don't want to belabor the point. I am glad to be back, but this is not about me. This is about our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. The scripture that runs through my head constantly is, O death, where is your victory? O grave, where is your sting? It's the other way around. But either the point is, death was erased.
Amen.
In a single purchase and a single encounter with the blood of Christ. And I don't think that we can be grateful enough. I think every day is Easter. Every day is Easter. Every day is a day to say thank you. Thank you first for the freedom, Lord, to worship you. To have a smile on my face that is as real as can be. To have pain that is comforted by the God Almighty through Jesus Christ. To have a heart. To have little babies that spit up on their moms. You betcha. God is so good. And the first thing that Jesus said out of the grave was this: rejoice. That's what he said. He said, rejoice. I will not belabor it here this morning. And together, we're going to rejoice. We're going to do as he said. We're going to remember who he is. And we're going to live our lives free and out loud because he allowed us to. Amen? Rejoice.
Sin away.
me day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Oh, no, no, no. Forever I am changed. Forever, forever, forever. Forever I am changed. By your blood, by your grace, Lord. Forever I am changed. Yes, Lord, we thank you. 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 Yes, we thank you. Oh, we thank you. Yes, we thank you. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
together. God will reign forever, and all the world will know his name, and everyone together will sing the song of the redeemed. I know that my Redeemer lives, and now I stand on what he did. My Savior, my Savior lives. And every day a brand new chance to say, Jesus, you are the only way. My Savior, my Savior lives. The King has come from heaven, and darkness trembles. Forever is the song of the redeemed.
Come on!
I know that my Redeemer lives, and now I stand on what he did. My Savior, my Savior lives.
Yes, he does.
Every day a brand new chance to say, Jesus, you are the only way. My Savior, my Savior lives.
My Savior lives.
My Savior lives. My Savior lives. My Savior lives.
Yes, you do, Lord.
My Savior lives.
out of praise this morning. God, we worship you that you live, that you resurrection. God, that you rose from the dead. Father God, we worship you. We thank you for that this morning. our testimony every overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Without the blood of an innocent animal. But God, you made a way and you restored us, God. And Father,
Jesus,
I'm humbled. I'm humbled by your sacrifice, God. God, I get it. I get your great love for me, but there are those in this room that don't. God, would you reveal yourself to them right now? Open blind eyes, God. Help them to see that you love them in such a great way, God, that you gave your life, your own son, that we should have life, God, and live with you forever and ever and ever. And God, you're there preparing a place for us right now. God, thank you. Thank you. Oh, you love me. Oh, you love me. Oh, how you love me.
All those signs were tremendous testimonies of the Father's love, the Father's healing, and the Father's grace and His mercy. But every single one of us has a placard with a healing on it. And the Lord doesn't want us to think that our candle is burning very low. This room is alive in the light of the risen Lord. The light shines so brightly because we have been saved. We have been healed by Father God. Jesus suffered and died so our flames will burn brightly. Thank you, Lord.
God keeps pressing on my heart that I need to step out and say something. And when God went to the cross, He knew everything that was going to happen. He knew what happened yesterday. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And some of you are standing there saying, well, I did this and I did that. And how can God love me because I did that? Because I made this mistake? Because I lied? Because I, you know, hurt somebody or whatever? But you know what? God knew that. He knew that when He came to this cross. And His love for you did not change. He knew that you were going to make that mistake. And just because you're sitting here today saying, oh my goodness, I did that, how can He love me? He loves you. He loved you from the beginning before you were even born. So stop judging yourself because God is not judging you for what you already did or what you're going to do. But He simply wants to say, I love you, no matter what. And all he wants you to do to him is say, I love you back. And that's really what today is about. It's about God's love.
Amen.
And the love that he shown by going Amen. To that cross.
Amen.
He did it so that we didn't have to do it. So we didn't have to prosecute ourselves for what we've done. So just reach out and love on God today, because that's all he wants.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, he loves us.
Minutes ago, Annette was singing, but she was singing, oh, how I love you. And I know that we sing it, but it didn't seem like I was singing it. It seemed like God was singing it to us. If you just listen to the words as they come from her mouth, that he's saying he loves us, it was so beautiful to hear.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to sing that. I don't want anybody else to sing. Just receive it as if God is saying it directly to you.
I love you. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. How much you love us. We can't comprehend. We can't wrap our minds around it. We can't truly even see it. But Lord, today with eyes of faith, God, we receive your love. We do. We receive your love, God. We choose not to look at our natural situation right now. Whether we've been doing things that we weren't supposed to do, or things in life have come against us in such a way that have distracted us from even thinking about you. We choose not to look at those things right now, Lord. We choose to receive your love. We receive your love. We receive it today, Lord. We receive it today. Just take your hand, put it on your heart. Just say, Father, I receive your love. Father, I receive your love. Father, I receive your love. Jesus, thank you for showing me the love of God. Lord Jesus, thank you for showing me the love of God. Holy Spirit, thank you for being love in my life. Love living inside of me now, Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you that love lives inside of me. Thank you, God. We just receive today, Lord, into our lives, just as if we'd never experienced before, a fresh love, Lord. Fresh love from you. Thank you, Lord, that today is about love. Today is about your love for us. And Lord, in return, we say we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for loving us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why don't you take a moment and greet somebody in the name of the Lord. Say hi. Welcome them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, team. Thank you, worship team. And they are a team. We are blessed with an amazing team. They want to glorify God. They want to lift him up and not themselves. And I'm so thankful for that. Well, would the children please come up? Aw. You always like to go downstairs. What do you mean, aw? Praise the Lord. Wow, you guys look really nice. Hey, buddy. You guys look really good. Some of you have some really nice Easter clothes on, right? You bought those for Easter? Well, I've got just a little teaching for you real quick. What day is today? What would you guys say today is? Easter. But Easter. And do you know what Easter represents? Come on, the resurrection and Jesus being raised from the dead. Amen. Today, I like to call it Resurrection Day. That's Happy Easter. So I want you guys to know that when you, if you guys do other things, you know, in school or stuff like that, color eggs or hunt Easter eggs, don't forget the reason why today is, though. This is about Jesus Christ's resurrection. And the beauty of it is, listen to this, guys, the beauty of it is that resurrection power that raised him from the dead lives in all of you. It lives in all of you. So can you imagine how powerful that was to have Jesus' dead body being raised from the dead? It lives in you. And so go today in that power and live for him. Amen? I think you got some great things planned today, so go on. Hey, no, not that way, guys. This way. There we go. Trying to take shortcuts. No shortcuts. Praise the Lord.
Well, welcome. Welcome.
We have our Friday 24/7 prayer this coming Friday, and that means that One Life Family Worship will be praying for a 24-hour period for the Yakima Valley. And those of you who have signed up, and I already sent out the email yesterday, but for those of you who have not an email address that works, and you still want to, you know, have your sheet, they're up here, or I can hand them out. Stephen's got somebody in his arms. Who's? I don't see Barb and Ken. What? Tyson, could you hand them out if people want them? And then I do want to let you guys know something. I said this a little echoey, Jesse. I said this on the email I sent out that last month I started doing something. I put myself down the previous month, but I didn't make it. For a long time, the 12-to-1 spot has kind of been empty. And how many know that 12 a.m. is early or late or however you want to look at it? And but I just really felt that I wanted to make sure that the prayer started strong. And so the month before, I was trying to stay up. I was trying to stay awake. I was drinking coffee and everything. And I couldn't keep my eyes open, so I ended up taking my normal spot. But last month, the praying for March, I was able to stay awake until midnight. And I started praying, and I was still pretty tired when midnight hit, but by the time I was done at 1 o'clock, I was revived and refreshed, and I was so blessed to be able to kind of kick off the day that way. So that's my new slot. I'm from 12 to 1. So anybody who goes from 1 to 2, you're following me. And if that spot's not being filled, somebody who really wants to go for it can. We have our Transform 2-4 coming up. For all of you who have attended Transform, please say yay.
Yay.
No, it's an amazing experience. It's one day. It's Saturday, April 20th. Saturday, April 27th for the women, April 20th for the men. And it's only $20. That includes your breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's $20, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's pretty good. And the food's good, right? Yeah. Haven't had anybody have, you know, food poisoning or anything, so that's good. As I said, $20 registration fee. You can go ahead and if you'd like to attend, it's all day Saturday. We start at 8 in the morning. I know it starts early. And we go until about 8 or 9 that night. So it's just 12 hours of intensive receiving revelation, understanding, impartation. We've had before testimonies on video. Maybe we'll play those next week so some people can hear the testimonies, because it's an amazing experience. I'm going to go ahead and just pass these around. Now, these are for the women and the men. So just if you're a woman or a man, take one you'd like to attend. I'm just going to pass them around. That way they'll get around today. So hopefully they'll make it around. If not, go look for them. Let's see. Anything else? Gazely reminds me. Anything else? Nothing. It's so quiet. That was amazing worship. I love worshiping the Lord. I was really blessed
For my birthday, Pastor Gay said that I could go ahead and buy a classical guitar. I've been playing for a lot of years guitar, but I've never really been able to master it much. And I don't know if it's because I'm left-handed and I play a right-handed guitar. So I don't know if that has affected my my learning abilities or what. But I got the classical guitar on, what day was it? Was it Thursday? Yeah, Thursday? Yeah. Glenn went with me, and I had him play like every classical guitar in the store. And we found one that had the perfect sound. At least to me it was perfect. It was the perfect price, so it must have had the perfect sound too, right? No, actually we played a couple that were even more money, and they did not sound as good as this one. So this one's from God. I just believe it. It was a gift, yeah. That's what? Come on. Then I started playing. I said, what happened? Where'd this wonderful sound go? Called up Glenn. Glenn, can you make it sound beautiful again? Yeah, Glenn is very, very gifted. And he's giving all the glory to God on that one, right? But anyway, so I received it and started playing it. And I just started falling in love with playing this guitar. And because over the last, like, well, probably 7-8 months, the Lord's been really doing something in my heart where I just love to worship Him. And I find myself, you know, because I used to know a lot of worship songs. I used to sing on the worship team years ago, and I know a lot of worship songs, and they're in my repertoire. As long as I can hear it, I can sing. But what has happened is, like, there's a new song that I sing. And it's like I'll just start driving down the road, or I'll just be sitting during my prayer time, my reading the Word, and I'll just start singing a new song out. And of course, I didn't have any instruments, so it was kind of hard to know if I was singing right. But I just want to let you guys know that when I got that guitar, it's like so all the years that I've been learning things just kind of all came together, and it's like this sound's coming out of my heart. And I just believe that it's not just for me. I believe that there's a, like, heaven's resounding a sound at this time. It's a song that God's putting in your heart. Maybe it doesn't come out in worship words, but it comes out in the way that you live for Him, or it comes out in the way that you speak, or the way that you interact with your children now. It's your family. It's just like a sound that is deep inside of us, that almost we don't even realize it got there, but all of a sudden it came alive. And it's the love of God is what it is. It is the love of God coming alive in us. Any amens there? Amen. Amen. All right, well, today is Resurrection Sunday and Easter. And I have, I would say, a propensity now to not want to make Easter this big day once a year. I want it to be Easter every day. Now, some of you say, well, what do you mean? It can't be Easter every day because Jesus wasn't raised from the dead every single day. Well, now, that's looking at it from a natural standpoint. See, in the Bible, it says that from the very foundations of the earth, so before the world ever was, Jesus was slain. He was crucified. And I believe since He was crucified, He was also resurrected. So in God, somehow, Easter's always been. And what we have a tendency to do and a propensity to do on the other side is to make these special days, and there's nothing wrong with celebrating, nothing wrong with dressing up. I wore a new shirt, you know. I don't want you to think, oh, he's down on Easter. No, I'm not down on Easter. As a matter of fact, I'm excited about Easter. I'm excited about resurrection. But I want us to know that resurrection is every day for us as Christians. Resurrection power, resurrection life is every day. It's not just in the by-and-by. You know, some of us think, oh boy, when life's done, then I get to really live. When I die and go to be with Jesus and go to be with the Father, amen. That is going to be an amazing experience. But I believe that we can live in that resurrection life. We can live in that eternity now. And that's what's to make us different than the world. That's the sign to this world. Not just that we're saved and that our sins are forgiven, but know that we're living in heaven now. We're living in resurrection power now. So if you would turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 11. I'm going to read a story that isn't necessarily about Jesus' resurrection, but I really believe that there's going to be a sign for us today in this about how amazing Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection mean to us. How amazing of a thing God did in that, and how it was part of his heart and his plan for all of mankind. It says here, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany. This is verse 1 of 11. The town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Listen to this. The sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you are going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Verse 14, then Jesus said to them, plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her, with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Verse 36, then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." It's twice now it's mentioned 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary had seen the things Jesus did, believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, and just as our Savior Jesus said, I thank you, Lord, you hear us. You always hear us. You hear us, Lord, in our secret places, our whisperings, Lord. You hear us, God, in our prayers. You hear us, Lord, in our communication, Lord. God, you see us. You know us. You know our hearts. And Father, I pray today, Lord, that the word that has been spoken, the words that will be spoken, Lord, will be straight from you. They will not be of man. They will not be of my own intellect, Lord, but they will be of you. They will be revelation, Lord, that you want for us as your people today in this hour that we live. Lord, that we would understand, God, how much, Lord, we are on your mind and how much we've always been on your mind. And Lord, that even what looked like was bad in our lives, Lord, was for your glory. Even the worst things, Lord, and the bad things that we've faced, God, are going to be for your glory. And so, Lord, I just ask right now, Holy Spirit, that our hearts and our minds would be able to receive, and that distractions and hindrances and thoughts that don't align with you, Lord, would just be removed now. Just speak the peace of God over our lives. To speak just understanding to come right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. So, about a week and a half ago, maybe almost two weeks now, I was driving home from a retreat with Pastor Gay, and I like to do this, you guys, because I really think that, again, the more that you get, like, kind of confirmation about what's being spoken, the way that it's being, you know, addressed, is that you can take it by faith and run with it. You can live it out. It isn't just something that you just hear on a Sunday and go, "Oh, that's nice." It's something you can receive by faith and let it transform and change you because of what God wants to do in this day. So I was driving back and we were listening to a song, and I'd listened to it many times, but the part of a prophetic sound was coming out, and the people that were singing it were singing, "Lazarus, come forth." And they were talking about the bride of Christ waking up and becoming who she's meant to be, having the, you know, those grave clothes of
of the old ways that we've been living in, old patterns and habits, religious ways removed so we could truly live for God. And I immediately, all of a sudden, something went in my heart. I said, honey, how many days was Lazarus in the grave? And she goes, I said, he's in the grave 4 days. And so I like all of a sudden, because something was starting to fall into my heart. And I can't give it right now what the Lord started giving me, because I'm going to put the cart before the horse. And then you're going to go like, that's no big deal. But this revelation started dropping in me. So this has been a couple of weeks. And you know, I don't like to, because of what the Lord shared with me last year, to sit there and prepare for a message. And so I have purposefully just like read the story one time, and I'm saying, Lord, I want you, you know, I know what you put in my heart, but I want fresh revelation to come. I don't want, you know, things that I'm getting from, you know, going and searching different stuff to try to be what we feed off of today. I really want it to be the heart of God. And so as I read through this, a few things, popped out. And nothing fresh as of yet, but God seems to always show up. So if we listen to this, it says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Now you could just say, well, that's just, you know, just an opening. It's not a big deal. It is. It is, because something's being said here that is part of the prophetic statement that takes place. The word Bethany, not just being a town, it meant something. And it meant house of misery. House of misery. How would you like to have your home? People come in. Welcome to the house of misery. Enjoy. Sit down. Receive the peace of God. Somebody changed that town's name. I mean, you know, can you see Misery, Washington? I mean, not many people are going to live there, are they? House of Misery. So here's, oh, get this. Here are three individuals. They're the disciples there, but notedly, here are three of Jesus' loved ones, and they're in this town called Misery. They're in this place that they live that's known as Misery. How did that place get its name? I don't know. It doesn't say where it got its name. But here is Mary and Martha, two individuals that Jesus loved. Lazarus, who Jesus loves, and they live in this place called Misery. This town called Misery. Now I want you to think about your own life. And you could think about it now, and you could say, oh, there we go, that's where I'm at. That's my life, misery. Or maybe before Christ, you could say, yes, man, my life, we saw some testimonies there. And it sounded like there was some misery, there was some destruction, there was some horrible times. So here you have these three, and they're living in this place called Misery. And Jesus is told that one of the ones that he loves is getting sick. And then he is asked to come and what? Pray for him. He's asked to go and bring this healing touch that he had freely given to so many people. Right? Some people that he said didn't even deserve it, but their faith, he said, okay, your faith has made you well. But Jesus stays away. Why does he stay away? Just so he could raise him from the dead? Or is there more going on in this story? Is there a story within a story? I think there's a story within a story here. Are you all lost? Fortunately, I'm not today, so that's good. Yeah, praise the Lord. It says here, so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Why didn't he stay 5? Why didn't he just stay 1? Why 2? The disciple said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you're going there again. So now, after 2 days, right at a place where they had picked up stones. You read chapter 10. They had picked up stones. They were ready to stone him because he was saying that he was Son of God. So his disciples are, what are we going back there, Lord? They were just ready to do you in there. He says, no, we're going back there. Our loved one, our friend, Lazarus, sleeps. Now notice Jesus doesn't say he's dead. He doesn't want to say he's dead. Why do you think that is? Because he's not dead. He had to tell his disciples he's dead, but he wasn't dead. All this will come together. Trust me. If it doesn't, I'll have somebody else get up and close it. I'll have Josh get up here. Okay, Josh, that didn't work. Come on up now. High five. Tag team, you take it now. Or Pastor Gaze right there. Yeah. So hang on here. So Jesus shows up. Lazarus is dead, he says. And he goes there, and he has been in the tomb 4 days, and he stinks. Now, I've never been around a body that had been dead 4 days. And I know they used precautionary measures so it didn't stink really bad. They put perfumes and stuff around him. But I think Lazarus stunk. Or at least they thought he did. I'm here to tell you that our lives stunk before Christ. I can't hold off anymore. This is the revelation that I believe the Lord wants to deliver today. And I want you to get this, because this is what God is doing in this day. Even as Christians, I believe some of us are still in grave clothes. Some of us are still bound. Some of us are still have that cloth around our face, and we cannot even really see God. We're still in the coming out of the tomb stage. But listen, this is what I believe the Lord is saying. In this house of misery, and this earth, unfortunately, became a house of misery. This earth, at the fall of mankind, went from being a glorious place. No spot, no wrinkle, no blemish. It was perfect. It was perfection. God made it. He made it for mankind. It was the best thing that he could possibly make for man. There was nothing lacking in this earth when we received it from God as the gift. And Adam and Eve were in the garden. They'd made a choice, and they fell. And guess what fell with it? Earth. And what was once paradise here became, I believe, our house of misery. Became the place where we dwell in a place of anguish, in a place of misery. Before Christ, man, that's where I was. You saw my sign. No future, no hope. 19 years. Just chasing, kind of like Melissa said, just chasing after nothing to the grave I would have. It was misery. How many can relate? It seemed like before Christ. Maybe right now, you're not in Christ, and life seems like misery. This world seems like a place of misery. So here we are, the loved ones of God. See, Adam and Eve were loved. A lot of people say, well, God was just mad at me, kicked him out of the garden. All of that was an act of love. God's pushing them away from him because of their fall and because of their fallen nature, so that they wouldn't get like destroyed by his glory, was an act of love. He loves us. And I believe Lazarus represents mankind after the fall. Lazarus represents that 4 days that he was in, 4,000 years of mankind in a grave with no hope, dead, so to speak. Just living to live. Just living to exist. Just trying to make it, trying to get by. 4,000 years, and people came and died. People came and died during that 4,000 years. But God had a plan. And he talks about in the garden, he says, when the serpent deceived Eve and Adam to eating the fruit, God came and said, listen, one's going to come out of their seed. A child's going to be born, in other words. An heir that's going to come out of this family. And he is going to, you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. In other words, he's saying, you may have caused earth, these lives, to be a place of misery. To be a habitation, a house of misery. But I'm going to allow this child to bring joy and life once again. And what has happened, folks, is that because of the work of the cross, because of Jesus' sacrifice, because our sins were placed on him, and yes, by his stripes we are healed, we now do not have to live in a place of misery. It does not matter what the earth looks like, because Jesus has come to each and every one of us when we receive Christ, and he says, come forth, to come out of that grave, to come out of that place of destruction and misery. Are you seeing what's happening here? As Jesus was feeling the compassion at the time to raise Lazarus from the dead, and he was groaning, I don't think it was just for Lazarus. I think it was for mankind, knowing what he was going to have to go through, but also knowing that he is the resurrection. See, resurrection isn't a day. Resurrection is a person. See, resurrection is Jesus. Resurrection is Jesus. And so when you have Jesus, you have resurrection. And so how often do we have Jesus? All the time. So how often should we really celebrate resurrection? Every day. Every day. Not once a year. Don't limit to our preparing ourselves to look shiny and nice once a year. Make it every day. But don't make it an outward appearance. Make it an inward change, because it's already done. Just let the work that the Holy Spirit has started in you be continued and be finished. Jesus says it is finished. It's a finished work. There's not one of us, even though our circumstances may look like it, that should be living in a house of misery. I'm here to tell you that those days are gone. They're not to exist anymore. We're to now live in a place of joy and peace and life. The thief comes but to only steal, kill, and deliver misery. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. See, at the end of this story, it says here, and when he who had come came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth, Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. We are that testimony, just like Lazarus in this day. I believe that when people see our lives and see what the results of the love of God in our lives has done, those grave clothes that they saw maybe previous. I'm sure you have people in your life that knew you before Christ and know you after Christ, and they see a difference. They see a change. And I believe that they have an opportunity to believe now because of you. A few weeks ago, I preached on the burning bush. Now, Moses had the experience with the burning bush. And that the Lord was sharing with us, listen, we today are those burning bushes. We today are those lights that are so bright, as was so eloquently said, so bright because of God, that they won't go out. And that it causes others to be drawn to what God's doing in us. Resurrection day is every day, Easter is every day. It's not once a year. And from the very foundations of the earth, Christ was crucified. Why? So that this house of misery that we live in, that some of your neighbors still live in because they don't know the good news. They've never experienced the good news. They've never seen the good news. So to them, this life is a house of misery. Even if it looks like they have all their ducks in a row, even if it looks like they have all their financial issues taken care of, even if it looks like everything is perfect on the outside, I guarantee on the inside, folks, they don't know God. There's a house of misery. And they will chase their tail and they will chase other things to try to make this misery go away. But only one thing alone. And it's not just God in general. It's Jesus Christ and Him only, believing in His death, burial, and resurrection that brings an end to this misery. I was 19 years old, and I was really at a place where I felt empty and dead inside. I remember looking up at the stars and just thinking, is this all there is? Is this all there is to life? And it wasn't but a couple months later that Jesus was introduced to me. I believe that was Holy Spirit causing those thoughts to come to my mind. Just as Holy Spirit is causing some thoughts to come to your minds today of what more you can do to get closer to this Jesus, to this God who loves you. He loves you. Oh, how He loves you. If we could just begin to grasp the love of God, we'd be changed in an instant. We'd be transformed because it's His love that transforms us. It's His love that changes us. It's His love that takes us out of the house of misery. 4 days Lazarus laid in the tomb. I believe each day representing 1,000 years. In 4,000 years, mankind waited for Messiah. 4,000 years. 4,000 years. Mankind waited for Messiah, and He came. And what did He do? He said, my children, come forth. When He said, it is finished, that's what he was saying. Come forth. Come alive. It's a new day. The misery is gone. The misery is gone. And the very fact, again, this just shows where we're at. If we grasped this, we would be standing in an ovation. Because the misery that we still experience and we let capture our hearts is not supposed to happen to us. Folks, it's not supposed to happen to us. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. And when we let this world make us of it, then the same misery that we experienced before Christ, we experience again. And God did not design us to live in misery anymore. He did not say, okay, now go ahead and put some furniture in Lazarus' tomb there, and he'll go back there and stay there so that he can remember where he once was. No, he went back home, and he sat with his sisters and his family, and he enjoyed being with Jesus. That's what we're to do. Now, you want to hear the good part? Bethany is no longer called the city of misery. You know what Bethany means now? It's kind of been changed a little bit. The city of Lazarus. That's what it's known as. And there's actually a tomb that they say this is where it happened. I don't know if it's some kind of, you know, tourist attraction or what. But its name was changed. And good news, so was yours. Yours has been changed from misery and hopelessness to life abundantly. Reason to rejoice. Reason to celebrate resurrection power. Amen. Amen. And get this. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but it is now Christ in me who lives. And this life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. And I'm no more a company of misery. No more. No more. I will not let misery keep knocking on my door and keep inviting her in and sitting and having meals with her. I'm going to remind her that her days are done. And that my Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, my resurrected God defeated her. And that now I have a new name. And only God knows my new name. But right now my name is Son of the Most High. Beloved Son of the Most High. And that is so good news. That is a reason to rejoice. That is a reason to sing. So,
the word Lazarus,
yes,
means helped of God.
Oh, helped of God. So the word Lazarus, little side note, means helped of God. So listen, each and every one of us are a Lazarus, and we've all been helped of God. And let this story and the prophetic meaning of it now change the way that you think about your life. Because your life does not have to be misery anymore. Misery does not have to be your company anymore. It does not have to be your company anymore. You are in the company of, as it says in Hebrews, an angelic host and a cloud of witnesses that are watching us here and cheering us on. If we could just see ourselves the way God sees us, we would be cheering on Sunday mornings. We'd be worshiping so hard, we may hurt ourselves. But we won't hurt ourselves because we're doing unto His glory. Amen? Would you stand with me? Father, we thank You for Your word. I thank You, Lord, that You are doing an amazing work in this day. And I pray right now, God, for every individual, Lord, that does not know You as Lord and Savior. Right now, Lord, that You would touch their hearts. Lord, that You would just draw them to Yourself. Lord, as we've prayed, Lord, that You would remove any obstacles and any barriers, any hindrances, Lord, that are keeping them from seeing who You are in their life. We just speak blessing over Your people. I do. I prophesy over Your people. I speak life. Lord, I declare that misery will no longer be their company. Lord, I declare, God, that the life of God, the health of God, the resurrecting power of God would be in their lives, Lord, and that they will be transformed from glory to glory. They will be changed, Lord, into Your likeness and Your image, Lord, and that anything the enemy has brought against them, Lord, You will turn to good. You will cause every circumstance, Lord, that has been put into their lives, Lord, for the glory of God. Just as Lazarus' death, Lord, was not in vain, Lord. It was for Your glory. I believe, Lord, that even our days of misery, Lord, have been turned into Your glory, God, as we have been resurrected from our dead states. And I just thank You for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why not? No music, I guess, right now. Lynette's right there. Are we going to do music? Hey, go ahead, go on up. What are you going to do? I do want to say praise the Lord. Did you guys notice? It's official. At least we have a sign out that says One Life Family Worship. Praise the Lord. Now we'll just keep watching and seeing how God makes this name into what He wants it to be. So God bless you. We don't need music. Music is highly overrated. Yeah, that's from Lynette. That's from the worship leader. Music. Oh, I want to tell you. No, you guys don't know. My dad is here. I'm so. And Teresa, again, is back in the house. Praise the Lord. Love you all. Bless you. I get so.